Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today's theme is the future, and in particular, we're going to focus on the future of work and of relationships, how they'll be structured. To start, I will read an article by Benjamin Krems' master titled A New Approach to Social Living. And this is actually one of the early articles published in a 1982 issue of Share International magazine. An entirely new possibility of social relationship opens up for humanity. As man stands on the threshold of the Aquarian experience, altogether new levels of awareness will manifest themselves in this coming time. This will lead to the creation of new forms through which man can express his growing sense of the interrelatedness of all things. At first, these new structures will be slow to form as man carefully finds his way out of the present morass. But gradually, a fresh impetus to change will be given by the masters forming the first group of the externalizing hierarchy. New ideas will sweep across the world, relating men to each other in a new way, and a new approach to social living will begin. Here, it is necessary to digress for a moment to underline the inadequacy of the present social structures, now fast decaying. Today, large numbers of people live deeply unfulfilled lives, dedicated only to earning a living, contributing little of a truly creative nature to the general fund of knowledge and experience. Through no fault of their own, they remain passive onlookers of a life which passes them by. Bereft of any real joy and meaning in their lives, they await in growing resentment their day of revenge. This constitutes a major world problem. On all sides today can be seen bafflement, confusion, and anger. Into the midst of this confusion has come the Christ. His is the task to point the way into the new structures which will allow man's growing sense of himself as a divine being to be expressed. Only the masters and the Christ himself know the enormity of his task. Nevertheless, we await with confidence humanity's response. To begin with, massive aid for the poorer areas of the world must be given the highest priority to alleviate the suffering of many millions. The redistribution of the world's resources according to need should then proceed until a more equitable balance is achieved. This will take 2 to 3 years to implement. Concurrently, a far-reaching program of education must be inaugurated to deal with the growing problems of unemployment and the ever-increasing demands for a correct and more creative use of leisure. A gradual restructuring of society will take place with the minimum of cleavage. Men's hopes of a society based on sharing and love will gradually be fulfilled, and the new era will guarantee to each his rightful place. These new forms will lead to the expression of, as yet, dimly sensed attributes in man. the awakening of powers of perception and reception hitherto unrealized will quicken his understanding of the spiritual basis of life. And more, in mounting rhythm, his inner divinity will become manifest. His social forms will mirror his sense of the interconnectedness of all creation and will lead to the establishment of correct relationships to all the kingdoms. Once again, man will realize the sacredness of all life and will take the necessary steps to protect that life from harm. A creative interchange between all groups will flow and will ensure a steady realization of man's human and divine potential. Freed by machines from the burden of unnecessary work, millions will find within themselves a creativity absent until now, and will contribute their share to the glowing tapestry of joyful living, which will become the hallmark of the new age. The next few questions and answers were published in Benjamin Krem's first book titled The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, and it can actually be downloaded for free from the Share International website, and I'll give a bit of information about that at the end. So this first question and answer I'm reading out, it follows on from another one, so the question itself may not make a whole lot of sense. What sort of sacrifices are we here going to be called upon to make? This question was from 1978. Benjamin Krem's reply, well, we shall be called upon to live a great deal more simply than we are living now. Mankind, I'm not talking about the underdeveloped two-thirds of the world, will enter what is called the wilderness experience. It will have to learn to live more simply, to learn to share, and all that sharing means, to look on all the produce of the world as belonging to the world as a whole, not American wheat or Russian oil or British manufacturers or whatever, but that every nation has assets and these belong to all men, to all nations. Each nation will be asked to draw up an inventory of all that it possesses and all that it needs, and this will be made over to the United Nations. All goods and all produce will have to be made over. I say have to. It is up to us to endorse this. Nothing will be forced on us. But the advice of the hierarchy and the Christ will be to do this, to make over in trust for all men the produce of the world, to be held by United Nations agencies in trust for all, so that no country owns anything. Then that will be distributed among all mankind according to need. This means for the developed third of the world an entirely new and simpler living, which will be seen to be a great deal happier, for there is nothing easier to bear than something shared. I mean, if you haven't very much, it is easier if no one else has very much. This is a relative thing. I'm not saying we are going to be living in abject poverty, not at all. There is a surplus of food in the world. There is a surplus of raw materials and energy sources if correctly used. The masters of wisdom have custodianship of scientific knowledge, of which we don't even dream at the moment. They have the knowledge of means of power, nuclear power, simple and safe, which would answer the energy demands of all mankind. That is the crux of the situation today. It is all to do with energy. Whoever has the energy today has the power. That energy, and therefore that power, will be shared by all mankind. And so now it goes on to a section titled Work in the Future. And the first question in this part of the book is, as there is so much unemployment in the world, is that an indication that the idea of work will change? I mean, most people work for a living. Will that idea change? And Mr. Krem's reply, yes, the major area of concern in the immediate future will be the problem of leisure. How mankind will utilize the leisure which he will have. A great many people today, because of the world labor situation, have endless leisure. They don't want it, they don't want to be unemployed, but they have leisure. However, they have not been educated for the most part to use that leisure correctly. In this coming time, gradually, I'm not talking about something that is going to happen overnight, but eventually, mankind will create machines which will do the work which today is done by the bulk of humanity. Mankind will be released into a state of leisure which will give him the opportunity to explore his own inner nature, to know what he really is, the great divine being he really is, and allow him to manifest that quality. Today, freedom from enforced activity, freedom from want, freedom from hunger, freedom to explore the nature of one's own being, the freedom to create, is known to a relatively small number of people. It is the privileged few who have this kind of freedom. Most people work to earn enough money to keep themselves and their families, and the vast majority of the people in the world work at deadly mechanical work, which bears no relation to man's true nature, his creativeness. It is not creative work. Some people, of course, enjoy their work immensely and get a great emotional, mental and spiritual return in terms of energy from that work because they are deeply engaged in the creative aspects of it. It engages their creativity. But for the vast majority of mankind, this is not so. In the future, it will be so. The nature of work will change. We shall have to learn to live more simply, not geared to this great mechanical civilization we have built around ourselves, especially in the industrialized West. The Christ and the Masters will show that we can live perfectly happily, even more happily, in a much simpler way with fewer things. But those things will be beautiful. They will be made because they are needed, and they will be made with the creativeness of man behind them, whether they are a man-made or a machine-made. A completely new attitude will take place in relation to work. Through the power of sound, man will build and create the artifacts of his civilization and control his environment, relating it to his real needs. When he comes into correct relationship to his brother and his source, he will inherit that divine science which is his birthright, but is known today only by the Masters of Wisdom. Moving on to another section in the book, titled Effect on Family Life. And the question is, do you see the breakup of the nuclear family and more communal living in the future? And Benjamin Cran's reply, more communal living, yes. The family is the basic unit of humanity. The baby is cradled in the family, and the mother is the nourisher. She nourishes the baby and looks after it, sees it comes to no harm and teaches it, imparts whatever level of civilization she has to the child. The family, as far as humanity is concerned, is the basic building brick and cannot be dispensed with. I know there are many experiments going on in the kibbutzim and various communities to dispense with the family as a unit, and they are having various degrees of success for certain lengths of time. However, in many of them, they are finding that no matter how hard they try, when the children who are born and brought up in such a situation reach maturity, again and again, they return to the family unit. It would seem to be a basic essential part of man's nature, and certainly it is crucial in the progress of the race, of the evolving sons of men as they come into incarnation, because the family provides the form for the incoming ego. The aim is that egos of higher and higher and more expanded consciousness can come in to serve the race, but they can only come in if the bodies are provided. It is only in bodies of the right quality, right vibrational rate, the right relationship provided by the family that they can come in. So the family is essential. We choose our families. We don't choose a group. We are part of a group. We incarnate as groups and choose the father and the mother, which is our family, who will provide the body, which is our soul, our true self, which our soul, our true self, sees will give the approximation in vibrational rate and opportunity, therefore, to the kind of level which we as souls are evidencing at any given point as we incarnate. The family unit will be retained, but it will be seen to be possible to hold the family unit within a wider group and community relationship. It will not be the breakup of the family, but the extension of family units. Take, for example, a triangle. If you break up a triangle, you lose the force of the triangle. A triangle is a highly potent force unit, much more potent than the three separate parts which make it up. When you join up these triangles at their points, you get a tremendously powerful field of interlocked energies. And that is like the family, the nuclear family, in the relationship of the groups. When you break up the family, there is a loss of egoic intention. The nourishing aspect goes. The mother is the nourisher and nourishes the civilization, just as those nations which are feminine nourish the civilization. The role of the woman is to nourish, so that particular family aspect has to be kept, but expanded to include a wider expression of itself without losing its essential energetic role. And the next question. So the isolation of the nuclear family will cease. The isolation of the nuclear family is an artificial thing brought about by our divided civilization today. Where cooperation exists between men and the growth of communities comes about, then automatically you get a growth of interrelated family units, which remain family units. Then will come the growth of groups and communities, until the whole of humanity is one group, one community, as it essentially is. And the next question, what about the breakdown of family life? Everything is breaking down. All the old institutions, and the family is also one of the institutions, are breaking down. Everyone is under tremendous strain and stress. Families are to do with relationship. The new time is to do with the restructuring of our relationships, the extending of our allegiance and our identification from the family to a larger group, from the larger group to the community, from the community to the community of nations. It is always a greater and greater expansion of identification. It is relatively easy to love one's family, well, easier to love one's family than to love the world. There are many people together as families who shouldn't be together. In order to really make a proper marriage, there should be a similarity of vibration, of ray quality, and some identity on the physical, emotional, mental, and the spiritual planes or realms. These are four levels on which people should equate an imperfect marriage. You get people who are physically attracted but mentally and emotionally are not compatible with each other. In other instances, you might get people who are completely compatible on the soul level, on the mental level, even on the emotional level, but who are physically incompatible. So it is very difficult. In the future, our partners will be chosen in a much more scientific way, according to ray quality, karmic relationship, and point in evolution. The family breakdown is a temporary factor due to the wider breakdown of our social structures and unlimited knowledge of ourselves. So those excerpts, again, were from the book The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom by Benjamin Krem. And as mentioned earlier, you can download it for free. Otherwise, of course, you can purchase a hard copy. You could check out the Share International website, which is share-international.org, then /resources/books. Otherwise, of course, just check out the website and I'm sure you will come across the books part of it. But the resources section is the one in which they are listed. Thank you very much for listening. And if you have any queries about the subject matter of the program or any comments, feel free to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. And wishing you all a lovely week.